young hearts before the altar with marriage vows to take. In the back, the skeptics whispered they've made a big mistake. That life is all but over once wedding bells have rung. But in their hearts they know the best is yet to come.
In a one-bedroom apartment, their tears begin to fall. What's been home for several months now will soon become too small. 'Cause the news just came this morning that there's gonna be a son. They cry and tell each other the best is yet to come.
Little ones run in the backyard in a game of seek and hide. Then they're off and gone to college in the twinkling of an eye. Their room's so dark and silent in a few short years to come. They'll hold the love and laughter of granddaughters and grandsons. Old folks with hair of silver and lines upon their face now share a strong contentment and a never-ending faith that they'll always be together once their race on earth is run, and they will find comfort knowing the best is yet to come. They know when life is over, they'll walk through heaven's door to be with friends and loved ones who were taken on before. They'll bow before their master and hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servants, the best is yet to come." So they go on believing the best is yet to come.
I want you to take your Bible, please. Turn to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. The book of Genesis, chapter number 1. I'm giving you part 2 of a message that I began. When did I begin it? I guess last Sunday night, I guess. All the weeks are running together for me and the days. I believe it was last week I began this. But in Genesis chapter 1, I'm preaching on the opening 2 chapters of this book. As I remind you that we try to have an Old Testament book going on, a New Testament book going on, I'm searching for a topical series, but our Old Testament book is the book of Genesis. Our New Testament book is the book of Matthew. And we've come again to the book of Genesis here. I'm just going to read the opening verse of the book because we take our title from this, and I'm going to bring you back up to date with how far we've gotten in this message, and we'll pick up right there. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, if you mark your Bible, I want you to mark those opening 3 words, "in the beginning." And I give you that thought, "in the beginning," part number 2 tonight. Let's pray together. We'll share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to you and help us as we read your word and preach your word and hear your word. I pray that you deal thoroughly with us. Speak to our hearts. May the will of God be done. Guide us, I pray. I pray for Brother Wampler tonight, who's in Holston Valley. Would you touch him? Miss Catherine Wines in the medical center. We pray that you'll bless these dear folks and help our church to be faithful praying for them. checking on and ministering to them in Jesus' name. Amen. I remind you about those two who are in the hospital right now, Mr. Joe Wampler and Miss Catherine Wines. Mr. Wampler's in Holston Valley. Miss Wines is in Johnson City Medical Center. Now, what I want to do here at the opening is just bring you back up to where we're at in this message. We're looking at, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And let me just simply say here, by means of introduction and as we're hurriedly getting to where we left off, that this opening phrase of the book of Genesis settles everything else in the Word of God. I tell you that if you have no trouble with verse 1 of chapter 1, you should have no trouble with anything else in God's Word. Because the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I'm telling you, that's true whether you believe it or whether you don't. Now, we understand that people don't want to believe that, and we understand that the Bible tells us that the reason they don't believe it is because they just want to ignore it. In other words, they can't refute it, but they just simply ignore it. They don't want to know the truth. And this being the case, there's three things we're looking at that was in the beginning. And these same three things are here today. Number one, I'm just going to tap these on the head now because I'm just getting us up to date. First of all, we notice in the beginning God's presence. The Bible simply says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And I just want to remind you here that the Bible never tries to prove God's existence. It simply states that He exists. And this being the case, that brings us to point number two. And that is, in the beginning we see God's power. And in this, we saw two things, and we're going to pick up with number three. First of all, that creation proves that God exists. And Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6, I've already preached on this, but in Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6, we see that the creation around the world is God's witness to every human being on the face of the earth. That the Bible says that because they see creation, they are without excuse. That creation proves that there is a creator. Secondly, we noticed under this that God's Word is powerful. We see this because how many times in the book of Genesis chapter 1 does it say, and God said and it was so, and God said and it was so, and God said and it was so. The Word of God is quick and powerful. And we understand that His Word is such of that. Then we pick up in our preaching tonight. In other words, this is where we left off right there. So we're under major point number two. In the beginning, God's presence. In the beginning, God's power. Creation proves that God exists. Number one, under that, God's Word is powerful. Number two, here we go. Number three, everything God does is good. Everything God does is good. Notice how the Word of God tells us that when the Lord spoke something into existence, He saw that it was good. In chapter 1, verse number 4, you see this. In chapter 1, verse 12, verse 18, verse 21, verse 25, verse 31, we see that it says, and God saw that it was good. Look at verse number 4. God saw the light, that it was good. Look at verse number 12. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Over and over and over you see this. And I'm telling you that the major thought we learn here is that God is good, and everything He does is good. We can trust Him, and we should trust Him. Psalm 52, verse 1, the goodness of the Lord endureth continually. 1 Chronicles 16, 34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Ezra 3, 11, and they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because He is good. James 1, 17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our God is always good and never makes mistakes. Therefore, whatever He's doing in your life tonight, whatever God is doing, I'm not saying what the devil's doing, I'm not saying what the world is doing, I'm saying whatever God is doing, it's a good thing for you, and it's a good thing for me. And I'm telling you, we need to praise our God that He's a good God tonight. Where would we be if He wasn't a good God? Think about it. So this is number three under this. Number four under this, we see that the Trinity was involved in creation. Now this is doctrine. Don't let the word doctrine scare you. Doctrine simply means beliefs and teachings of the Word of God. Notice in chapter 1, verse 26, notice the language, and God said, let, what's the next word? Us make man in our image. Now, the name God here used in this chapter is the name Elohim. And Elohim is a plural form of the name of God. See, the same name is used in Isaiah 45, 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself, Elohim himself, that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. Jonah 1:9, that same word is used, the same name here. And he said unto them, I am in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God, Elohim of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. See, we see here in the opening book of the Bible that there is only one God. And we see throughout the Word of God that the Bible says there's not many gods. There's one God. There's one Lord. And yet the Word of God says, in chapter 1 of Genesis, he uses the word, let us make man in our image. We see in this that the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were all involved in the work of creation. We see this in chapter 1, verse 2, where the Spirit of God moved. And in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, obviously talking about Jesus, was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1, 16 and 17, in context, talking about Jesus, the Son of God. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Hebrews 1:12, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He, the Father, made all things. You say, Jody, what are you talking about? I'm saying this. I serve an awesome God tonight. I serve a God that is in three persons, co-equal, co-existent, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father spoke the creative words. He used the Son to carry out His creative decrees, and the Spirit moved over the face of the waters. I'm telling you, there's no way to fully understand that. You can't explain that. You can't fully understand that, but we can sit back and say, I thank God that my God's too big to fully understand. Just like you are one body made up of three things. You are body, soul, and spirit. You are three yet one. That is our God. Don't try to explain it, friends. Just rejoice in it. I'm telling you that the Trinity was involved in creation. We're looking at in the beginning. What about in the beginning? We see God's presence. He was already there. Number two, we see God's power, that He spoke the worlds into existence. And four things we learn from that is that creation proves that God exists. We learn that the Word of God is powerful. We learn that everything God does is good. And we learn that the Trinity was involved in creation. Then we come to major thought number three, and that is in the beginning, we see God's plan. Now I want you to turn to chapter 2 with me in verse number 18 and following. The Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good. Note it. This is the first and only thing in creation that God said, this is not good. In other words, He saw the light. He saw all these other things, said it's good. God saw it was good. God saw it was good. But when you get to chapter 2, verse 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God caused every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. That word means somebody suitable, somebody compatible. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Side note, chapter 3, you listening to me? Human beings are the only things that wear clothes. Let me tell you why. Because human beings are sinners. And I'm telling you that what we see here in chapter 2, verse 18, down to the last part of the chapter, we see in the beginning God's plan, friends. It's a beautiful plan. As we come to these closing verses, we see that God had a plan for all the ages. His plan for the ages was for a man to marry a woman and stay together forever. Now let's look at this together. Notice in verse number 18 how the Lord for the first time in his creation said it's not good. Every other time it said that what the Lord made was good. However, he saw something that was not good, and that is for man to be alone. The Bible tells us that the Lord formed all the animals out of the ground, brought them to Adam, and when he saw them, he named them. However, in verse number 20, it tells us that among all the animals, there was not found an helpmeet for him. There was nothing among the animals that was compatible with Adam, and one he could carry out God's command with in chapter 1, verse 28, where it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He had nothing suitable to carry out his desire to love and his desire to be loved. The Lord saw all of this and said it was not good for man to be alone and without a helpmeet. Therefore, God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took one of Adam's ribs and made a woman. Oh, precious Brother Kaiser, when he taught us in Bible doctrines, he said he took just enough of the sun's rays and glistened her hair. He reached onto an island he created, and with coral blue shaded her eyes. He found the blushing color of a late evening desert sunset and colored her cheeks. By the way, if there's a man saying, boy, that doesn't sound like my wife, then that man needs this message more than anybody else. Amen. He crushed the petals of the pinkest rose and brushed her lips. He picked up the gurgle of a rushing mountain stream and put a giggle in her throat. He turned up the corners of her mouth and dented her face with dimples. He scattered the sparkling of stars all around her countenance. Creation was crowned with completion. Man was crowned with companionship. Can't you just imagine the look on Adam's face when Adam fell asleep in the will of God and he woke up and for the first time he saw Eve? No wonder he named her woman. Like I said last night in a sweetheart dinner, somebody said when he woke up and saw her, the first thing that came to his mind was, whoa, man! And I'm telling you, may I say this to you, Adam had fallen asleep in the will of God. And Adam allowed the Lord to make his decision. You listening? May I say something to maybe some young people, especially some teenagers tonight, who think that the world has stopped revolving because they don't have a date on Friday nights? By the way, if you do have a date on Friday nights and your parents let you go out by yourself, they need a mental case evaluation. Amen. I know teenagers don't like me to say that, but that's the truth, friends. You say, oh, I trust my kid. Really? Really? I don't trust mine. One of them's sitting right there. He's smiling. I guarantee you the one thing he'll remember tonight, and I say, because every now and then I say, Judson, what I preach on tonight? You don't trust me? That's what you're going to remember, ain't it? Isn't it? I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be proper. I said, ain't it? What am I saying? I'm saying this. Before I get to marriage here, let me just make this statement. If you're not married, the greatest thing you can do is fall asleep in the will of God and allow the Lord to bring to you the one He has for you. By the way, God made woman out of one of Adam's ribs. He did not make woman from a bone from his head. to be lorded over. He didn't take a bone from his feet for her to be trampled on. He didn't take a bone out of his hand for her to be manipulated. But he took her out of his side to be close to him, to be under his arm, to be guarded very close, and to be close to his heart. Now, as we think on these things, there are several thoughts about marriage I want to give you tonight, and we get them straight from this text right here. You know, I want to say this. It's always dangerous when the pastor gets away from his notes. Some preachers preach without notes. Honestly, I don't know how they do that. God bless them. I have to kind of tie myself to notes, even though you might not even know I use notes eventually, you know, every now and then. Of course, I'm carrying them up to the pulpit like that. I don't tie myself down to them, but it's dangerous to get away from it. But let me just say this. This church will never be any stronger than the homes that are represented in it. And I'll say this to you. You cannot fool your wife and you cannot fool your husband. You can fool the church. And you can fool your Sunday school class. You can get up and teach. You can fool your bus route. You can fool the church members. You can fool anybody and make them think that life at home is heaven. But you can't fool each other. How's your marriage tonight? I'm going to tell you, I love you. I really do. God's given my wife and I such a love for the people of this church that the only way it can be explained is God had to do that. I love you. I care very deeply about you. But I cannot believe that a crowd this size, that there's not maybe a marriage or two or three, that's not where it needs to be. I'm not asking you to stand and give a personal testimony. All I want to ask you to do is this. Listen to what I'm about to preach. Shouldn't take long. Of course, that's the preacher's famous words. It shouldn't take long. I want to give you four things about marriage that we see right here in our text. Number one. By the way, this is God's plan. This is not my plan. You know why I'm as free as a bird behind the pulpit? Because I've tied myself down to Scripture. See, a preacher can preach scared and afraid if he's preaching his own philosophy, preaching his own thoughts. But when you have the Word of God and it says, thus saith the Lord, it makes a preacher just take the bull by the horns. This is not my word, it's God's. And I want you to think about your marriage. And if you're not married, I want you to think about marriage in general before you get married. Four things about it. Number one, marriage meets a need. It meets a need. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 18, down to verse 20, and the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto the man to see what he would call them. Verse number 20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to all the fowl and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. That word helpmeet, like I've already told you, means somebody suitable. The Bible says God's plan is this. It is not good for a man to be all alone. And I'm telling you that what God did in His plan back in the opening book of the Bible, from the first, He made a woman. And He made her suitable for companionship to carry out His command in chapter 1, verse 28. And let me say this before somebody gets ahead of me. Not everybody needs to get married. We see that in 1 Corinthians 7:7 and also verses 32 to 33. The Word of God teaches that not everybody has this on them to where they have to get married. Sometimes that's a gift from God. You understand what I'm saying? But from the beginning, God wants man to know something. He made you, unless He gifted you in a certain way, He made you to where you need a helpmeet. You need a helpmeet. And I want to say this to you. That's the way God planned it. Somebody says, I'm a man. I don't need anybody or anything. And that's probably why you're having problems in your marriage. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:14, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Number one, we notice that marriage meets a need. Number two, marriage is a divine institution. The Bible says in verses 21 and 22, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made a woman, notice this, and brought her unto the man. Notice in these verses that a woman being made out of man was God's idea. Also, we see the Word of God tells us that God brought her unto the man. Yes, marriage is God's idea. And may I say to you that in the home, the father is a picture of God. Who walks the bride down the aisle typically? The dad. And he is standing in typology to God himself. Adam had no mother, no father. Eve had no mother and father. And the Bible says God made her and God brought her to the man. By the way, marriage was instituted before the fall of man. In other words, it's not part of the curse, my friends. Amen. Somebody says that had to be part of the curse. I'm telling you, marriage is of the devil, my friends. It was instituted before marriage. The Bible wrecks all of our own philosophies, doesn't it? And may I say this to you, marriage was also instituted before government. And marriage was instituted before the local church. You listening to me? We're local church people here. In other words, you ought to be in a local church. You ought to help serve the Lord in a local church. You ought to get involved in a local church and help carry out the Great Commission. But the local church is not first in your life. Your marriage is number one. I'm telling you that marriage is a divine institution. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, a marriage is honorable and all. And may I say this to you, because we've got folks who are new to the church. We've got folks who were not here whenever I went through those 16 to 18 messages on the home. I want to offer to you what I offered last night. If you're new to our church, whether you're visiting tonight or whether you're just new to it, you don't even know what I'm talking about, I want to make that whole series available to you. All you need to do is call the church and say, I want that series. You tell us if you want the CDs or MP3 format. We'll give it to you completely free. No, not a charge. I'm telling you, I just want you to get it. Amen. I preach 16 to 18 messages. I think in the set there's 16 to help you on your home. But I'm just hitting marriage on the head tonight, that marriage meets a need. Marriage is a divine institution, number three. Marriage is to be between one man and one woman. Now, let me say this before anybody jumps ahead of me. There are people who will preach what I'm getting ready to preach, but they preach it with the wrong spirit. And they preach it with the wrong attitude. I am not going to, listen to me please, we are against sin, but we love the sinners. We do not hate people. Now, what I'm getting ready to tell you, I can say it with all the love in my heart, and part of the world would say that's hate. And they're trying, and they'll do everything they can to try to get this passed as a hate crime. May I tell you something? Living for God and telling people what God said, the last time I checked, is not hate, it's love. And I'm telling you that when God made it, He made it with one man and one woman. The plan that God put into effect for the ages was for a man to marry a woman. By the way, my friends, the Word of God tells us it is the will of God for men to marry women and women to marry men. God help us, not men with men and women with women. Hallelujah. Now, friends, listen. It doesn't matter what man thinks. See, the big thing today is equality of man, equality. We want equality. Are you listening to me? It has nothing to do with being equal. God created man and woman equal. He loves them the same, but He made them different. And He made them to have a helpmeet, companionship, suitable. God, help us to see this. The Bible says in Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's an abomination. Romans 1:26-27, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. I didn't say it was unseemly. God said it was unseemly. I didn't say that it was error. God said it was error. God help us in this country. It makes no difference who's promoting it. That one man with one woman is the plan of God. It was never a man with man and woman with woman. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell, friends. It is an attack on the home. It's an attack on God. Don't you understand that anything against Scripture, don't ever fall to this. Oh, those people just hate. Your preacher hates people. That's hateful. I'm telling you. Listen, I'll be the first person to go try to win them to Christ. By the way, before we jump, oh, I wish they just get what's coming to them. That's not the spirit of Christ, friends. It's time somebody says their eyes are blinded. Let's try to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope you see my spirit. I'm not getting up on a soapbox like some people do. I don't have anybody in mind, but you know there's preachers out there that'll just clear off a space and say, bless God, just let them all burn in hell. That is not the spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's not the spirit of Christ. We say, listen, that's a sin, but it's no worse than this one. But that doesn't mean that we sit back and say, equality, let's just not speak anything about it. Are you listening to me? If God speaks about it, I have a responsibility to speak about it, because I'm to preach the whole counsel of God. Amen, friends. But I hope you see my spirit in this. I'm emphasizing that because I don't want anybody to fall prey to this worldly thought. Oh, these people who preach that homosexuality sin and all that kind, they're just hateful people, really? Are we the ones holding the signs up and burning things down and all these other kind of things? No. I'm telling you, think biblically. That doesn't mean that you're hateful, but it means that you're trying to be holy. There's a big difference. Now, let me give you a fourth thing about marriage. Number one, we're looking at this, marriage meets a need. Marriage is a divine institution. Marriage is between one man and one woman. And number four, marriage is to be permanent. It's to be permanent. Look at verses 21 and following. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall, here's the word I want you to draw right here that I'm drawing your attention to, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, in these verses, we see that God only made one woman for Adam. He didn't make two. He didn't make three, and he didn't make four, and he didn't make five or six or seven. He made one. Then in verse number 23, we see Adam saying, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Then in verse 24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. The word cleave here means to stay with. It means to adhere to. It means to stick like glue. It means to side with, agree with, etc. It means to be welded together so that the two cannot be separated without doing serious damage to both. It's a powerful word. Mark chapter 10 verse 9 says, what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. In other words, a husband and a wife are to stay together. Someone put it this way, just like we would spare no expense or effort to save a member of our body. In other words, it's part of us. You're going to lose that. And we'll do everything we can to treat it, make sure we don't lose it. May I say something to you? We should do all in our power to safeguard our marriage the same way. Because you are one. And the Bible says that you're to leave the man, leave father and mother, cleave unto his wife. in such a way and you're stuck so close together that you are one and you cannot be ripped apart without tearing each other and getting ripped all to shreds yourself. That's God's plan. And I want to say this to you here. Now listen to me, please. The Lord did not make any provision in the first marriage for divorce. Now, when I say that, let me follow that up with this. If you have been through a divorce, please don't take offense at this. There are people who've been divorced that God has used down through the years and is still using today and using them in a mighty, mighty way. But I must say that divorce was not in the plan of God in Genesis chapter 2. It was not there. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. I may preach on that when I get to it in Matthew, but I think I've already dealt with it. You know that portion of Scripture that says, save for the cause of fornication, save for the cause of fornication? People always throw that up. What about this? What about that? What about? But the emphasis of that passage is not the escape clause, friends. People just trying to find a way. God doesn't want you to find a way. He wants you to stay together forever. And one reason He wants that is because it pictures Christ with the church. And I'm so glad that I don't ever have to worry about Jesus divorcing me. I'm so glad He's made the promise, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Somebody said that's the greatest promise that Jesus left us, that He's also left the husband. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I told my wife recently, I looked at her and I said, you have got to be my rib. We just match each other in so many ways. Even height, she's my size. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad God's put that in my heart for her. And we've looked at each other and we've told each other, I'll never leave you. You know what that does? Does that make me want to run around? Does that make me want to say, oh, she's never going to leave me. Let me just do what I want to do now. No, you know what her love for me does? It causes me to love her more. And when she knows that I'm in it for keeps, I'm not looking for an escape route. You know what that does for her? It gives her security. It helps her. Gives her strength. I'm telling you, man, the Bible says is to leave father and mother. You know what this means? This means that marriage is the top priority. It means that the man is now to have authority over his own home. Cut the string and get out and be a man and take control of your home and do something for God. And the Bible says that they're to remain together until death do them part. It's been reported that there's one divorce for every 1.8 marriages. I don't know what that 0.8 marriage is. I'm not sure what that looks like, but you understand what I'm saying. We're told that over half of all divorces occur before the 10th anniversary. In a world that promotes marriage as a trial basis, and the world does promote marriage as a trial basis, what I mean by that is this, try it. If it doesn't work out, you can always get out. That was never the will of God. God's plan from the beginning has always been one woman, one man, one lifetime. And if I'm speaking to somebody who's been divorced and you're remarried, I'm talking about your marriage now. Now. Forget the past. It's under the blood. If you've asked the Lord to help you and forgive you and all these other kind of things, whatever the case may be, it's under the blood, forget it, you can't go back, but your marriage now, it is one man, one woman, one lifetime. Don't ever get out of it. Reminded of a story of an 80-year-old man who never married. He's 80 years old, can you imagine? Never married. Somebody came to him and said, "Why have you never married?" And he said, "Because when I was 20 years old, standing in a ticket line, I accidentally stepped on the skirt worn by a woman ahead of me. And she turned like lightning and hissed at me, 'Get off my dress, you brute!' And when she saw me, she suddenly smiled and said, 'Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you were my husband.'" Now, I'm not asking for a personal testimony there. He's saying, he hit my marriage right there. There he got it. I don't have a clue what he's been preaching all the way from till now, but I can identify with that right there. Don't get me tickled now. There's a couple people in this church, when they start laughing, I can't take it. Mr. Stover, he's one of them. Stacy Steeles, I can't take her life. She kills me. I'm telling you. It's time that husbands and wives see each other as God sees them. It's time husbands and wives love, honor, and respect one another. May I say this? It is a privilege to be married in the will of God. And Dr. Clarence Sexton puts it this way: you never marry outside the will of God. You may date outside the will of God. You may get mixed up with the wrong person outside the will of God. But don't you ever fall prey to this. You get married, you go on, you ignore God and go on, but once you're married, it's God's will for you to stay married. That's why you need to listen to God when you date, young people. That's why, parents, you need to listen to God about who your young man and your young ladies date. Why do that? Because it can save them a lifetime of heartache. That's why. Now, my wife and I love each other deeply, and I know some of you might get sick of me saying that, but I don't really care, because it's the truth. And every time I talk about our marriage, I'm putting my marriage on the spot, because what I said earlier, I can't fool her. Just like you can't fool each other. And I'm telling you, it's possible. It really is. To have a marriage made in heaven. And it's possible to have a little bit of heaven on earth at home. But you have to work at it. And you have to come to the point in your life where you understand, I cannot do this myself. I need God. You know, if each one of you will say that, there is no telling what God will do with your relationship. We have folks in here who's been married for 50 years, some longer than that. And here I am, a 34-year-old pup, trying to teach on marriage. I've been married 11 years. Right? Been 11, right? Oh, my. All I want to say is this: I'm your pastor, I love you, and I care about you. And your home is such a wonderful thing. Wouldn't it be great to see husbands and wives come to the altar tonight? Somebody says, "Well, if I go to the altar, they're going to think my marriage is on the rocks." I didn't say that. Come to the altar if your marriage is on the rocks. I didn't say that. You know what happens many times? Those who are the closest to God and their marriage is more like Christ than anybody else, those are a lot of times the ones that come to the altar. And you wonder why their marriage is the way it is. Because they're so sensitive to Jesus. I mean, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you grabbed your wife's hand and said, "Let's go pray"? When's the last time you grabbed your wife's hand and just got on the altar and just said, "Jesus, I don't want to thank you for anything. I just want to say thank you for her. I want to say thank you, Jesus, for him." If that happened, we'd hear stuff like people falling down, passing out all over the altar. So I ask you, in the beginning, we see God's presence, God's power, God's plan. Valentine's is Tuesday. But every day should be Valentine's Day for the house that has God's children in it. And may God help us to see it. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, help us now. Help us to do business with you. Help us to trust you, believe you, and obey you. Bless this night. Strengthen our homes. Strengthen our marriages. Strengthen our families. May thy will be done. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Are you a child of God tonight? Do you know the God of creation that was in the beginning and he created the heaven and the earth? Do you know him? Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone as your Savior? If you don't know that, or maybe you know you're lost, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. Or maybe you need God's power in your life. Or young people, maybe you just need to fall asleep in the will of God and trust God to bring the right person to you. Or maybe you parents need to grab your teenager tonight, bring them to the altar and start your altar right here tonight saying, I love you too much not to pray for your mate now. Well, it'd be beautiful for moms and dads to bring their young people to the altar and pray with them. Or maybe many of you men will want to take the lead and reach over and grab your wife's hand. Maybe you've not done it in weeks or even years. What would it do for your wife if you reached over and grabbed her hand and said, honey, it's time, let's start tonight? What is God saying to you? Maybe many of you need to look each other in the face and say, I want to tell you this again, or maybe I want to tell you this for the first time. I just want you to know I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. What is God saying? If you need to be saved, come. Let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. You can never have the marriage God wants you to have unless he's in your life. Let's do business with the Lord, shall we? Let's all stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to sing. Maybe many of you men want to bring your wife to the altar. Maybe some of you moms and dads want to bring your children to the altar. Whatever it is, let's do business with God. Let's do business with him. Come on, talk to God as Brother Gary sings. You come on, come on now. Would you do it? Husbands and wives, parents with children, holding on to God. Men, grab your wife by the hand. Bring her to the altar. Say, let's go pray together. Let's ask God to make our marriage what it ought to be. Be all that God wants us to be. For my family.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being.
There's still time for you. Come on.
Absolute sway.
Let's talk to God about it.
Fill with thy spirit.
Talk to the Lord. Bring your family. Bring your children. Husbands, Christ, grab your wife. Bring her on. Say, honey, let's go pray together.
Living in me.
They're playing through. Folks are praying. We're just about through. I'd like you to look this way if you don't mind. We're just about done. Beautiful sight to see husbands and wives on the altar. Beautiful sight to see moms and dads praying with their children. And I simply want to say to you that God has made such a wonderful plan. I love his plan. His plan's been good to me. And like I said last night, I'm so glad when my wife proposed to me that I said yes. Amen. Boy, I love you. That takes a work of grace to love some of you. Brother Hayes, love you. You know I'm kidding with you. We do love you, care about you. Amen. Let's pray together. If you're a visitor tonight, thank you for coming. God bless you. Take your visitor's card out and drop it off. Remind folks about the Financial Freedom Seminar. If you're a teenage parent or a teenager, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you forward, if you don't mind. I'll meet you down there in just a moment. And then we're going to pray and we'll be dismissed, okay? Teenagers and parents, if you wouldn't mind to go downstairs quickly, and then I'll be down there in just a minute, okay? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for this service. Pray that you bless it. Pray that you breathe upon it. Pray that you use it. Help us as a church family to be more like Christ today than we ever have been. Touch us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you for coming.
Senior.